And tonight we are joined by three very talented musicians. They are the Blue Notes. The Jazz Festival organised them for us, so we're very grateful to them for that. So we have Cormac Hennessy on the double bass. Alton Mabry on the keyboards. And Jevon Ward on the sax. So sit back and enjoy Patrick McGlinchey and Michael Ray.
Thank you, Rosie. That was lovely of you. Very sweet. And thank you, Paul, for inviting us to meet tonight at the Jazz. And really looking forward to playing with the Blue Notes. And they did a great job at the rehearsal, so we've done some of the poems. Not all. So they haven't a clue what's coming. First poem is called Almost But Never The Truth. I wasn't good at childhood, you say. Somehow, that led me into art. My eyes pan from a gold leaf torso made from glass to ancient maritime maps. Maybe there is a message. The present is already past by the time words are out of your mouth. You shoot the air with a serum of ideas. Tell me what you heard in the rainy street. Flowers will drink almost anything. As you draw the drapes, select a Rioja, Louis Cagna. You say white space is for inspiration, like Schiller's rotten apples. I drink as I do in charged up mood or weather. Bolder now, we don't have oceans of time. Would you accept a Picasso with two noses? You laugh, then show me the real story. Between your teeth, a tongue.
A well-used shed in County Cork. When she moved in, baggage crammed with knickknacks, clothes, jewelry, books, and several hundred compact discs. Soundscapes from exes now released. I knew I had to mark out ground before the suggested flower beds and orchard spread, engulfing my neglected patch. I built a shed facing the sea, made from macrocarpa planks, where I could sit into the night, and as the laptop's whirring fan accompanied my dancing hands, write convoluted streams of angst. Then on the windows, morning dew draws stickmen shining in the sun. When she moved in, there was a troop of women who'd come round for tea. They'd lay out blankets on the lawn, repair the world all afternoon, correct the errant ways of man with cake and Latinate discussion. And so it was when she moved in, the shed complete, I moved out into a world of woodlice, dust and corrugations dripping rain, where tools are hung and slowly rust, and sideways glances shuttered out. Here, flies and spiders share the best laid schemes of men and nesting mice. Even the neighbour's cat, it seems, enjoys the hissing iron stove. I sit, interred, and contemplate this sacred cave where silence reigns, now comfortable enough to be a hunting lodge, a lover's grave.
They say only a poet isn't fit to live with anyone except another poet. Anyway, this one's called Double Stigmata. Desire and regret breathe in unison, turn day into night. You call up Isis, goddess of magic, the iron horseshoe over the doorway. This room's a judgment, exhaling loneliness. Outside, the sky is talismanic, pistachio, poppy, Persian blue. Why do you decline the offer, imprint of a human hand? All over the city, smoky jazz. Innuendos drift or lacerate right through you.
Death trap for beauty. All day spent shopping in Kensington. Now you strut naked, except for the clatter. Show bum and tanned breasts to the mirror. Most evenings we'd be monosyllabic. Just mephitic wind from the dog, or rainwater plinking into the biscuit tin. But tonight we take a vein to the cinema. Watch something beautiful unravel in darkness. Two seats in a cemetery. Me stuffing popcorn, you a conine with myxomatosis.
Deluge. The purple skies being felled like skittles with a crowbar. Ice skitters scattering. And all you can do is swim through the storm, orbiting around notions of abandoned love and tomorrows. While through an open door, steam from the chipper rises into the empty street. And further down, old people are heaving furniture boats into the river, already filled with adventurous boys whose mothers are crying over letters left behind. And tumbling down a staircase somewhere, the rumble of hundreds of feet, and flying like bats, glasses cracking into obstacles as you run, jingling elbows against the wave that appears in the doorway, an overflowing raft, and you reach a trapdoor where a cat's being stripped of flesh and eaten raw by feral assassins in team clothing. Now all that's left is somnophobia, loose floorboards, and one last egg, still hidden in the kind darkness of a salvaged handbag.
The wingback. I found it floating in the river. A missing wing exposed, a pepper of blued tracks. Its casters rusty, legs quite firm. The springs creaked as I fished it out. Torn upholstery revealed a tangle of bridle ties, horsehair, and poking from the seat of the examiner, our neighbour's name penciled along one soggy edge. The front page was all about the day the river broke. Filled homes and shops, and a local artist's sketch, most astonishingly beautiful in pen and ink, shaded with visiting newsprint from page two. Back to front stories by local residents about their ladder backs and Windsor carvers migrating south amongst the torrent of flotsam and duffel-coated visitors bobbing down the high street in brightly coloured clinker boats. We called our neighbour up, asked if by any chance he'd lost a chair. Not lost, he said, more escaped, and always uncomfortable to be around. It had broken free, floated off. No, he didn't want it back. I knew once dry it would stand and warranted repair, so bought a goose and wrung her neck. She gave us several suppers and a fine sack of feathers, a down and stuffed into the damaged seat, patched the gash left by the missing wing, covered the arms and back in several layers of white pointers. Last year, when autumn pulled up outside, the chair became restless. Even tethered by a length of rope, it would levitate in our front room. Tired of painting over scratches on the ceiling, I cut it loose, watched it scuttle out the door, hover just above the orchard, then flap away lopsidedly. This spring, it returned to nest on our beech tree by the river.
I've stolen this title from John Mayer, Slow Dancing in a Burning Room. If I follow a future memory, I find you lean and supple, though you blur a little. That's because I'm pushing my heart against you, and my eyes are mostly closed to the squinting, bouncing dark. It's the unknown of the known that attracts me. We move lazily around the room, among the uninvited, and I drink you as though through a straw, sucking deeply. The others have departed to be Martians. Low gravity, a safer bet than burning. The doors, both back and front, are still open, and the yellowwood floor is glowing. Do we dim or brighten before the sirens flare?
zest. Take one from the bowl. Its paws are oil glands. Hold it in your palm, navel up, as if still growing, as though it were the world. Let in the nail of your thumb. Take care, the rind must come off in one. Even blind, you can circumnavigate its umbilicus. Peel away ice fields, tundra, blue-eyed iris grass and krill. The orange flesh will turn, its pith orbiting as fingers strip away vast continents, Appalachian mountains, snowshoe hares, broad-headed skinks, desert and savanna. There goes a shining sunrise ocean and clouds of silver fish. Birds screech as they wheel around a spiraling of rind. Don't stop. There's more to pare away. Ancient forests, red deer, blue oyster mushrooms are letting go their spores. Now open out the wheel of flesh, segmented unexploded sacks of juice and seed. But wait, no one need know. The rind will wind back up, appear intact. It will take time to implode.
Lintel. A mind can fashion strange impressions here, contrary as the blasts of wind that roughen walls and thoughts. You sit curled towards the small heat of your fire, place a saucepan on to boil, its hissing rising higher than the growl and suck of sea and storm. This wind-whipped shelter, smudged by seagull droppings, piercing cries, your sanction from human chaos. No wonder you flinch from the burst of noise, blunder of my arrival. Your wordless thoughts flutter in the air, like flags from a forgotten country. Turns spiral overhead, caught, like me, between the past and future, looking for a ladder. All I want to do, like you, is fly into dream and other journeys, skim across the froth of waves. What else is there to say?
The snowstorm. Even on such a luminous day as this, his room is gloomy. He stretches, comforted by backache from a morning digging. He leaves the house and the man staring at him from the hall mirror. To go mad, you must kennel your sanities. He walks his like creatures that have been lolling about inside for too long. He reaches the woods, pauses behind a tree. How many times has he stood, pissing on this gracious world? The moons of loam beneath his nails remind him of the garden and her. She needed excitement. He loved how she hurried her key into any lock. The motion of her naked flesh. The vanity of her generation. It started during the snowstorm. "My monsters have so little to do," she said, melting cold confetti on her tongue and throwing her arms out wide while he read their life aloud and she pulled faces as if listening to a babble of obscenities. He remembers her many mirrors, the streaks of cold from so much laughter, her black hair heavy in his palms, the hyena patterns on her skin fitting his fingers like oil-stained manuals. The finest poem he ever lived was their kitchen sink at midnight, the radio drifting between two stations, them pressed against the counter, the snow claiming the window, their reflection.
Confluence. His manner is reserved, a little secretive. He scours the room, which also pines for colour, moves to the window's blazing snap of light. Her age depends on the light, especially the collarbone's slight hollow at the V, a wishbone which gives luck only when broken. He is still and moving as a tree in the trembling hall of spring, building up its nests and swarming puddles. It's herself she's in danger from, seizing a handful of electric wire as though clutching for dear life a hank of drowning hair. He paints what's left behind. A thought ghost grieves, disturbed by mutation, the bones of tiny fish. She spends the water with spread fingers, but he is afraid of loss. It's easier to have nothing. No way in for the water. No way out. She notes that there's no fountain swishing, only light. Weightlessness encloses them. They share a coquettish reading of each other's bodies. Kiss among the hung-up coats. Mud-sucked boots, the implication. Sky white, free of the drench. His voice shifting to a minor key.
Once, being crazy meant something. I live in a holy land of lethal injections, where science has proven bread talks to itself when rising. This is not a trivial matter to those of us married to the ancient art of baking. I mostly eat cereal for breakfast, because sound waves can escape through the cheeks, while the cornflakes floating in a cave of cold milk become waypoints, releasing sunshine. But I know this chart of my mouth doesn't hold the territory of the future. The future owns the chart, and I can sometimes feel it waiting as my hunger transits. Each morning, I plot a route, decipher the latitudes hidden in the columns of my daily download, then send it to the woman in the classifieds who has an eye in her left hand. I consider calling the local TV station to give them an exclusive of me finding myself in the woods with a slow punctured heart, then offer to star in the true life story of my conversion to reality, where I queue for a patch, globe, and a fake life, cutting out the whispers in wooden loaves. But really, really, I'll be making myself smaller and smaller with a sharp knife each time I use the word I.
Just so you know, there's one more each, and then we're going to do one last one together. Just in case you're wondering. By the Lee, this is another robbed title. By the Lee, you sat down and wept. You've taken your fallout to share with strange company, low down, irrepeatable boots, clattering into the noise of Blarney Street or Patrick's Quay, because there's violence in the silence of memory. And the price of a kiss is a hex, and the headphones of a private disco pound the walls of your heart. By dawn, you are incoherent in a doorway, still steeped in musk. And you are homesick for the red dirt and thorny shade, the long track you could walk blindfold. Those old pieces of everyday life, blue teapot, wraparound Java print, granadilla, bittersweet on the tongue. Light sharpens the shadow of your cheekbone, aching river. Our bath overflowed.
He was painting oceans and neon fish across the hallway wall.
I thought it beautiful, especially when we sprawled my Thai sarong across the piano lampshade.
I remember the room, velvet and occasional coffee stains.
And him in his crippled sway, trying to find you through cerise eyelashes.
And your half-whacked smile grinning ultraviolet as you scratch the face.
That's right. And you working out the future, flicking through a pack of cards.
While some flashy suit in a red tie tore up yellow pages, threw them on the count of three.
Was he called Jonathan?
Oh yeah, and I stuck in the middle with two subs miming a hop-skip ear bleed in a reservoir of hound.
And all of us plugged into a rising desert mojo.
blue torsos prepping bags of glue.
I remember trombones and a bass somewhere.
And singing in French.
Maybe Spanish.
You half out the window.
My arms conducting up to elbows and evening gloves.
He stepping out across puddles to dance.
I think the hearts were rebelled.
And someone put on something slightly green and louder.
And the curtains shed snakes.
And I wanted orange juice.
Or A&E. And we left, the streetlights dripping spears.
Until we fell in at the Chippecue with beery Rottweilers.
And feral mothers. And later, sitting in the van, downtown of the car park.
Me with my boots off, digging out dirt from the heels.
Me getting the hump.
He all catchy in his dress shirt.
Playing her the dashboard blues.
Yep, we found our wheels.
Exchanged safe words.
Rammed his pastry face and her Aphrodite breasts into the back.
Dropped them sometime later in a floodlit wood.
To dog.
While we hid in the multi-story, became fish in supermarket trolleys.
Discussed pelagic myths.
Yes, that's right. I held up my phone, wired and homeless, full of dead skin.
And I whispered hearsay and then Betty buys.
It was 1:30, something small, when we eventually paddled up the watery hill.
Do you remember the skinny kitchen?
It's a lemon formica.
The leaky aquarium, my toaster always popping up too quick.
And the all-night whispers.
Commando fridge raids.
When you looked up from the sofa, the artext ceiling.
With his Damocles bloodstains.
And the popped parquet from the night the two of you climbed the roof.
And fired snowballs through the skylight.
Leaving portal shapes we never could erase.
Visitors play hopscotch around them.
It was all we deserved.
A life ill-fitted, you said.
When he left us a wardrobe of cold air.
And needles rusting in the shower.
The night after, we dropped all we had left, waited by the grill, watching cheese turn.
To a field of childhood sunshine, and us dancing on a better planet.
Thank you.